You are listening to We Saw the Devil, an investigative and conversational true crime podcast that deep dives into fascinating criminal cases that are solved, unsolved, or ongoing. From America's Lori Vallow to Germany's Armin Mivas, we examine and discuss the world's most shocking cases. If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to follow us online. Check us out at WeSawTheDevil.com and We Saw the Devil on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And don't forget, you can become part of the show by backing us on Patreon. Hello, everyone. You are listening to We Saw the Devil. This is Robin, and I am here with an episode on the mass shooting event over the weekend at the market in Buffalo, New York. This is a hard one to cover. Honestly, I debated on whether or not I should cover it. You know, mass shootings, unfortunately, are so common in our country that it would be probably an episode a day, multiple, to cover all of them. But there are some themes in this particular shooting that I felt compelled, like I had to cover it. So this episode will be on that heinous, heinous shooting in Buffalo. Before we get into it, let's just get our housekeeping out of the way. First, you can find us at WeSawTheDevil.com. From there, you can find us across all social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff, as well as our Patreon. If you're liking the show, loving the show, and want to become part of the team, check out our Patreon, or you can go there directly at patreon.com/WeSawTheDevil. Last but not least, if you're enjoying the show or just the information provided, please take 2 seconds out of your day to leave a 5-star rating on whatever platform you are listening to this podcast on. It would be greatly, greatly appreciated from the bottom of my heart. So let's go ahead and get into it. The United States is just 19 weeks into 2022, and we've already had 198 mass shootings. For the record, that averages out to 10 events per week. Last year, 2021, saw 693 mass shootings. These shootings claimed 702 lives and injured 2,844 people. Of those 702 deaths, 22 were children from school shootings. As of 2021, a Gallup poll took a massive sample of public opinion with the following question. Do you feel that the laws covering the sale of firearms should be more strict, less strict, or stay where they are? At the time of this polling, again, 2021, 52% of the U.S. public wants stricter gun control laws, 35% wants the laws to remain the same, and 11% want less strict laws. That's the lowest support for gun laws in 7 years. Even though the prevalence of mass shootings has been rising consistently every single year. And there's been countless studies done on why mass shootings is a uniquely American issue. And even though the general scientific consensus remains the same across the board, I personally have little faith that anything is going to be done about it whatsoever, on any front. Because the fact of the matter is that mass shootings in America is a multi-pronged issue that's not going to be solved solely by stricter gun laws or solely by mental health funding. When we hear about a mass shooting, we're quick to make assumptions, and I'm guilty of this myself, 100%. School shooting? Oh, the school shooter must have been bullied. Store? Place of business? Well, they probably just got fired not long ago and came back. Concert? Crazy person. Whereas certain assumptions may be made on previous trends, it's not always accurate. Most people think of a mass shooter as someone who was emotionally triggered by an external event and just randomly ended up snapping. But here's the thing. As amazing as data is, it's also proven that that is not the case. Mass shooters almost always carefully plan. And in case you're wondering, there is actually some statistical backing behind the racial aspect. There is a reason why social media blows up with, oh, another mass shooting. I wonder what crazy white man snapped today. I see that everywhere, every single time there's a mass shooting, whether it's Reddit, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. And that's because since 1982, up to and including this year, 66% of all mass shooters have been white. 95% of them have been men. So, you know, I'll let you put those two together. And we find both of those things to be true in this past Saturday's mass shooting at the Topps grocery store in Buffalo, New York. And I'd like to interrupt with a complete side note here. You know, I'm writing this episode Sunday, May 15th. It's now 4 p.m. Central Time, and there's already been two mass shootings today alone, one in Texas and the other in California. So what exactly happened in Buffalo, New York, America's 198th mass shooting this year? Well, in short, an 18-year-old white man walked into a busy grocery store in a historically black neighborhood and killed 10 people before surrendering to police. We're going to go through the fine details of that event, but first, let's talk about the suspect. 18-year-old Peyton Gendron was born and raised in Conklin, New York, which is roughly 200 miles southeast of Buffalo. There are few reliable firsthand accounts of him before high school. At this time, since it is so fresh, most of the accounts start with him in high school. By June of last year, he was about to graduate. He was in his senior year, and he was about to graduate from Susquehanna Valley Central High School in Broome County, New York. Now, in 56% of mass shootings over the last 20 years, the gunman exhibited warning signs. And count Peyton Gendron as part of that statistic. As he was closing in on his high school graduation, he decided to start telling fellow classmates that he wanted to do a school shooting, possibly at the graduation ceremony itself. He actually threatened violence against some of the other students. Students immediately reported to school officials, who in turn called the New York State Police. Well, they came and they took Peyton Gendron into custody under New York's mental health law for evaluation. Peyton Gendron was only under treatment and evaluation for a day and a half before being released. He ended up graduating and as of this year's spring semester, was enrolled in the engineering sciences program at SUNY Broome Community College. Little is known right now about his time at the community college, as pieces of the puzzle are still being put together. But what is known is that 2 days before the shooting, this past Thursday, Peyton Gendron posted a 180-page manifesto in PDF format to Google Docs at 8:55 p.m. And in this manifesto, he goes into great detail as to why he decided to attack the Tops Friendly Market in Buffalo, saying it was because it was the city with the highest number of Black people in his vicinity. He claims that he has done hundreds of hours of, you can't see me, but I'm doing air quotes, research. He calls himself a white supremacist. He calls himself a fascist. He calls himself an anti-Semite and says that he sees low white birth rates around the world as a crisis that will ultimately result in the complete racial and cultural replacement of the European people. He laments, quote, the dwindling size of the U.S. population. And then he also admits to having been radicalized on 4chan and the internet while he was bored and attending school from home back early on in the COVID-19 pandemic, 2 years ago. If you recall, back early on in the pandemic, most schools were study from home, you know, at home learning. Apparently, he took that time to look at really racist shit on the internet. Peyton Gendron was just 16 years old when he began to immerse himself in the bowels of the internet. On March 15th of 2019, 28-year-old Brenton Tarrant attacked two mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand during Friday prayer. He live-streamed the first attack on Facebook and then also posted his own 74-page manifesto titled The Great Replacement, which, if you're not aware, is a reference to replacement theory, which is very important for this entire episode. By the end of his attacks, 51 people laid dead and 40 were injured. Now, this could be where Gendron first heard of replacement theory. The politics board of 4chan is rife with discussions about it, but you don't actually have to travel to the underbelly of the internet in order to discuss replacement theory. Replacement theory has actually been an inspiration for numerous attacks in America, not just New Zealand, such as August 2019, the El Paso Walmart shooting, where 21-year-old Patrick Crucius killed 23 people and injured 23 others. Crucius's manifesto cited both the Christchurch, New Zealand, and replacement theory idea as his inspiration. This attack was against the Hispanic population. April 27, 2019, 19-year-old John Timothy Ernst entered the Shabbat of Poway Synagogue, killing one and injuring three others. He cited his own adherence to replacement theory as the inspiration for this attack. October 17, 2018, the Tree of Life synagogue shooting in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where 46-year-old Robert Bowers killed 11 and injured 7. He was obsessed with Fox News and had recently registered a profile on the right-wing social media platform Gab. He frequently discussed replacement theory, and one of his last posts said, quote, "Daily reminder, diversity means chasing down the last white person." So what is replacement theory? Well, that topic is long, tedious, and would definitely be an episode by itself. But in the most simple terms possible, it is the belief that non-white immigrants, and also Jews, are part of a plot designed to undermine or replace the political power and culture of white people living in Western countries. Do you guys remember the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, where the counter-protester Heather Heyer died in a horrific car attack, where the guy just slammed on the accelerator, the pedal, and ran her over? And then there are the iconic photos and videos that were showing like long lines of white men holding the lit tiki torches, marching while they chanted, "Jews will not replace us." And then some of them did Nazi salutes. Yeah, that's replacement theory. I mean, literally, they say Jews will not replace us. That's replacement theory. It's sick. It's fucked up. It's steeped in violence, bigotry, and hatred. And it's become an integral talking point in the mainstream Republican Party. Now, before you guys turn me off and start leaving those nasty one-star reviews saying that I am isolating and hate Republicans, I am not shitting on all Republicans. I'm not calling them all racist, xenophobic, bigots, absolutely not. This type of rhetoric has been criticized and designated as extremist and disgusting by many, many members of the Republican Party. But the fact of the matter is that it's being spread through the mainstream via some members of the party and members of the media. For example, and the biggest and most obvious example, last year in September of 2021, do you guys remember when the Haitian migrants ended up at the Texas and Mexico border? Most of them were turned back to Mexico or deported back to Haiti. Some were allowed to stay in the U.S. and file asylum requests through the courts. Well, here's how that timeline went. On September 15th, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick of Texas said that Haitian migrants arriving at the border, quote, "They are trying to take over our country without firing a shot." A week later, on September 22nd, in a show segment titled "Nothing About What's Happening Is an Accident," Fox News' Tucker Carlson said that current U.S. border policy is designed to, quote, "change the racial mix of the country." And this particular segment went viral online. I mean, across YouTube, 4chan, 8chan, all right-wing platforms as well. And then other Republicans started coming out in support of this theory that Tucker Carlson threw out there. The very next day, on September 23rd, conservative radio host Charlie Kirk said on his show that the Biden administration's immigration policy, quote, "is all about bringing in voters that they like and, honestly, diminishing and decreasing white demographics in America." Day after that, Representative Brian Babin of Texas endorsed replacement theory, stating, "They want to change America. They want to replace the American electorate with third world immigrants that are coming in illegally." And then on September 25th, Representative Matt Gaetz of Florida tweeted, "Tucker Carlson is correct about replacement theory as he explains what is happening to America." I mean, I don't know how much more obvious you can get by saying, quote, "He is right about replacement theory." The theory, which had actually been around for a decade at that point, suddenly gained new momentum from this. I mean, Trump himself even backed it while talking about the Democrats' immigration policies. And in most of mainstream society, there was a pretty swift backlash against Tucker Carlson's comments. And just when it appeared that he would, you know, walk the comments back a little bit, he actually doubled down. He said, quote, "The Democratic Party is trying to replace the current electorate in the United States with new people, more obedient voters from the third world. That's what's happening, actually. Let's just say it. That's true." Again, disgust was very swift with this. And probably my very favorite response to Tucker Carlson's comments came from George W. Bush. George W. Bush issued a snarling response. He said, "Our identity as a nation, unlike other nations, is not determined by geography or ethnicity, by soil or blood. This means that people of every race, religion, and ethnicity can be fully and equally American. It means that bigotry or white supremacy in any form is a blasphemy against the American creed. Beautiful statement from George W. Bush. And he has since spoken out numerous times against this as well. His father, George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, and other politicians from both sides of the aisle have spoken out against Tucker Carlson's comments, as well as against those of Dan Patrick and other Republican politicians, but it was too late. 4chan exploded, Gab exploded, social media as a whole exploded with people making connections to one another over this very ideal. How many of you have heard someone racist say something like, they're coming here and they're taking all of our jobs, or pretty soon, you know, white people won't be the majority anymore? I mean, that's been going on for years. But it finally had kind of a movement and a name behind it. And Peyton Gendron was apparently consumed by replacement theory as well. He believed it. He lived for it. And he was determined that he was going to create a plan to help the white race. And he did. In 180 hate-filled pages, Peyton Gendron opened his manifesto with a passage on the consequences of, quote, sub-replacement fertility rates among white women. Unsurprising, considering the political climate right now with, you know, Roe v. Wade and all that stuff that's being discussed in the media, he also discussed that as well. And if you guys really want to see or hear something disgusting, you know, as everyone knows, Roe v. Wade and abortion rights is really big in the media right now. Well, Peyton Gendron, with his manifesto and talking about fertility rates and how white women need to have more children and they're not, I decided to take a little tour into the bowels of the internet and take a look at what people are actually saying in real time. And there are a lot of people supporting Peyton Gendron, online at least, you know, agreeing with him, blaming white women, blaming members of the LGBTQ community, blaming transgender people, blaming leftists and Democrats or anyone who is pro-choice for these declining fertility rates. Of course, the manifesto contained vile and transphobic language against basically any white female member of society who does not want to be a baby factory or who is not straight. Here are some additional pieces from the manifesto that are very telling. Gendron wrote, 18 years old as of writing this. I am the sole perpetrator of the recent attempted mass shooting. I lived in Southern Tier, New York all my life with both my parents and two brothers. I believe I am ethnically white since my parents' nationalities are from Northwestern Europe and Italy. I graduated high school with a Regents Diploma with advanced designation and am currently enrolled in SUNY Broome with a major in engineering science. I would love to continue this, but there are bigger problems I'm more concerned with. I am not a warfighter, nor have I ever been enrolled in military or tactical training, so excuse any mistakes I make during my attack. I was never diagnosed with a mental disability or disorder, and I believe to be perfectly sane. Also in the manifesto, under the title, Why Did You Decide to Carry Out the Attack?, Peyton Gendron wrote, quote, to show the replacers that as long as the white man lives, our land will never be theirs and they will never be safe from us. To directly reduce immigration rates to European lands by intimidating and physically removing the replacers themselves. To intimidate the replacers already living on our lands to immigrate back to their home countries. To agitate the political enemies of my people into action to cause them to overextend their own hand and experience the eventual and inevitable backlash as a result. To incite violence, retaliation, and further divide the European people and the replacers currently occupying European soil. To add momentum to the pendulum swings of history, further destabilizing and polarizing Western society in order to eventually destroy the current nihilistic, hedonistic, individualistic insanity that has taken control of Western thought. In another section, he says, quote, mass immigration and the higher fertility rates of the immigrants themselves are causing this increase in population. We are experiencing an invasion on a level never seen before in history. Millions of people pouring across our borders legally, invited by the state and corporate entities to replace the white people who have failed to reproduce, failed to create the cheap labor, failed to create new consumers and tax base that the corporations and states need to have to thrive. The crisis of mass immigration and sub-replacement fertility is an assault on the European people that, if not combated, will ultimately result in the complete racial and cultural replacement of the European people. The rest of his manifesto is a grouping of racist, homophobic, anti-Semitic, and transphobic memes. He also includes things like charts that he found from random websites that purportedly show the difference in IQ levels between whites and non-whites. He listed supposed sources from suspect links that backed up his own, again, air quotes, research. I mean, the theory itself isn't really rocket science, right? It's not exactly a thinking man's belief system. It's vile, and overall, it explains the anger, hostility, and insecurity so many misguided white men feel these days. It's palpable. We see it all the time in these mass shootings. Peyton Gendron spent months planning this attack. The manifesto stated that he had been buying ammo for a while, but had just started planning this particular attack 5 months ago in January. He traveled to Endicott, New York, to a little shop called Vintage Firearms, and purchased a Bushmaster AR-15. He bought the gun with no problems and no flags. Once he got the weapon home, he made illegal modifications for high-capacity bullet magazines in order to make it more deadly. He purchased full tactical gear, including full body armor, bulletproof vest, and a bulletproof helmet. He performed reconnaissance, which was alluded to in the manifesto as well. He did this the day before the attack, making sure to take notice of the security guard, the type of gun that he was using, as well as the store's cameras and where they were located. And something that I actually just came across, and this was just so horrible to me. The day before, when he went there to scope it out, he went in the store, he looked around. Again, this particular area is very solidly black, and so a lot of people noticed that he was there. I did not catch the gentleman's name, but apparently he sits outside the grocery store quite a lot, and he talks to people. That's what he does. He just talks to people, you know, gives advice, and he likes to connect. Well, he said that he noticed Peyton Gendron walking through. Again, said he stuck out quite a bit. And Peyton Gendron was wearing a t-shirt that said genius on it. The black man laughed and he said, you know, I kind of wanted to see if he was a genius. So I started talking to him. And he said that they sat there on that bench outside the Tops Friendly grocery store for about an hour and 45 minutes. This man bought Peyton Gendron a drink. They sat and they talked about string theory, critical race theory, the dawn of civilization, religion. They sat there and talked for an hour and 45 minutes. And Peyton told him that his name was Peyton and he was there camping and he was just there to buy, you know, a jug of water and some supplies. And the man didn't think twice about it. Didn't think twice about it at all. Said it was a great conversation and he felt that the kid really was a genius. He really, really was very bright. And the fact that he returned the next day to commit this horrible, senseless act of violence is just astounding. Peyton Gendron, taking after his idol, Brenton Tarrant, the perpetrator again of the Christchurch mosque shootings, decided to live stream the attack. So he logged onto his Twitch channel and attached his camera, I believe, to his helmet. The stream begins as Gendron arrives at the grocery store roughly around 2:30 p.m. on Saturday. He pulls into a spot near a woman who is walking towards his car. Like, it looks like she's just leaving the grocery store. He barely even gets his car into park before grabbing his rifle and exiting the vehicle. He immediately shoots 32-year-old Roberta Drury multiple times, including in the head. And based on the graphic footage, her death was likely pretty instant. Roberta was known as a vibrant and selfless person who would help anyone. She wasn't even a Buffalo native. She was from Syracuse and only in Buffalo temporarily to take care of her brother who had just had a bone marrow transplant. He ran the local Buffalo bar Dalmatia, and she was staying with him to help take care of both him and his business, just to help him out for a bit. At the last minute, she had just decided to go to the grocery store to get some food to make a special dinner for her family that evening. Peyton Gendron shot 4 more people outside of the grocery store, 3 fatally. As he was firing rounds in the parking lot, 55-year-old security guard and retired Buffalo police officer Aaron Salter came out to see what was happening. He ran right back in. Peyton Gendron was shooting after him. Mr. Salter immediately confronted Peyton Gendron upon entering the store and actually fired and struck him multiple times. However, due to the tactical body armor that Peyton Gendron was wearing, he wasn't hurt, neutralized, nothing. He wasn't even harmed. Instead, Gendron returned fire and murdered Aaron Salter. Salter was a beloved member of the community, He lessened friction between the police and the local community. Buffalo police had a horrible reputation at that point, and he retired after 30 years of service as a law enforcement officer. He took on a part-time job at Tops Market, just like his late mother, and he leaves behind three children and actually has been hailed as a hero of this event. He signed on to protect the employees and the shoppers of Tops Market. One woman, a mother of seven, was inside shopping in the store while her daughter, who's an employee, was working at the cash register. Shots rang out outside, and then when everyone saw Aaron Salter take out his gun and run towards the sound, they all ran in the opposite direction. And his confrontation with Peyton Gendron likely did save some lives. Gendron then moved along the front of the store, shooting shoppers and checkout lines. Some of the bodies that police have recovered, they appear to be attempting to hide in the checkout lanes. The stream itself lasted about a minute and a half because Twitch was pretty immediately notified by viewers and then ended up taking it down. Thank God. Here's one moment that just truly shocked me, and I have no idea why. Gendron was aiming his gun at everyone he came across. I mean, he was just, you know, just aiming his gun and shooting where he pleased. In one checkout line, he is, you know, coming up across it, and he points his gun, and it's a white man on the ground. The man screams and puts up his hands, and Gendron changes his demeanor and says, "Sorry, sorry," and then walked away. You could hear in his voice that he felt bad for scaring him. And I don't know why, but that just cut me so deeply. How almost all of his victims were Black shoppers age, say, 50 and up. And he showed no remorse or hesitation or second thought in shooting any of them dead where they stood. But the second he accidentally puts a white man in the crosshairs, "Sorry, sorry." It really speaks volumes to the level of hatred that he holds. Police arrived at the store roughly 1 minute after Peyton Gendron's engagement with the security guard. He exited the store and then pointed the gun at his own head. I mean, it looked like he was about to commit suicide. However, police were actually able to talk him down, and they were able to get control of the rifle, and then they ended up having him strip off his body armor and tactical gear. They were then able to take him into custody. Eight people in total were shot inside of the store, and six of them died. 11 of the 13 victims of the attack were Black. Other victims include 77-year-old Pearlie Young, a beautiful mother and grandmother who ran a food pantry where for 25 years, every single Saturday, she would go feed people in Central Park. 86-year-old Ruth Whitfield, she was shopping for groceries after visiting her husband in the nursing home. Her son is actually the former fire commissioner of Buffalo, and when he was asked for comment, he said, quote, "My mom was the consummate mom. My mother was a mother to the motherless. She was a blessing to all of us. She loved God and taught us to do the same." 72-year-old civil rights icon and journalist Catherine Cat Massey. Cat Massey wrote for both the Buffalo Challenger and Buffalo Criterion. She had devoted her entire life to civil rights, education for underprivileged communities, and gun law reform. Her brother had just dropped her off to get groceries and was waiting in the parking lot to roll back around and pick her up. Her loss is beyond devastating to that community. 65-year-old Celestine Cheney, a breast cancer survivor with seven grandchildren. She had decided to make some strawberry shortcake for her grandchildren and had just popped into the grocery store to get some ripe strawberries. Her sister was shopping with her and was able to actually hide in a freezer as the gunman entered the store. Her sister survived. Celestine's family requests that if you would like to honor her, that you wear pink ribbons in her honor. 62-year-old Geraldine Chapman Talley. She was working at Tops Market as the shooting unfolded. Her niece describes her as a gentle soul, full of love, who hated confrontations. She leaves behind two adult children. 68-year-old Deacon Hayward Patterson. Deacon Patterson was known for driving members of his community who did not have cars to and from the grocery store, particularly the elderly who could not drive. He would go in with them, help them shop, sometimes help financially, and carry their groceries for them. He loved his church. Deacon Patterson leaves behind his wife of 13 years, Terza. 52-year-old Margus D. Morrison. Mr. Morrison was a father of three who was known as a kind soul and nice person who never bothered anyone. And finally, 53-year-old Andrew McNeil. Mr. McNeil lived in Auburn, New York, but was actually visiting family, and he was at the grocery store buying a birthday cake for his 3-year-old son, as it was his birthday. Peyton Gendron was just arraigned on Saturday evening before Buffalo City Court Judge Craig Hanna. He was charged with first-degree murder, but I'd say it's pretty obvious that many, 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 many more charges are coming, obviously because the FBI released a statement saying that this is being investigated as a racially motivated violent extremism. And as always, guys, I'll be bringing updates to this case as they happen and as this moves through the criminal justice system. As I was researching this case, I came across the video of the shooting itself. I mean, like I said earlier, it's circulating, you know, I mean, everywhere right now. And it's just a little over a minute. And for the life of me, I just can't understand how someone could be this cruel, hateful, and heartless. You know, as I was reading about the victims, their lives, and all of the statements made by their loved ones, I mean, it's just such a huge loss for the community all at once. And then I got to Andrew McNeil and I just lost it. I mean, Claire Danes from Homeland, ugly crying. I mean, a man was slaughtered at the grocery store while buying a birthday cake for his 3-year-old son. And this is America in 2022. And I just, like, for some reason, I just can't grasp it. I cannot understand it. And the sad part about it, guys, is that this isn't the last one. This is going to happen again somewhere else, whether it's in a synagogue, a church, a mosque somewhere. It's going to happen again. And then we're going to be sitting here pretending to be shocked, asking what happened. But that's a conversation for probably a different podcast on a different day. In the links to this podcast, you'll see it in the show notes, guys. I did post a link. GoFundMe is actually itself as a corporation getting behind all of the victims. And they are listing the valid, true GoFundMes for families. There are people who want to do like toy drives for Andrew McNeil and his family. Ruth Whitfield, you know, takes care of her husband who's in the nursing home. So a lot of people are trying to assist financially. And if you are interested in donating to any of these GoFundMes, you can find the link right in the show notes. That's it for today, guys. Again, you're listening to We Saw the Devil. Check us out at wesawthedevil.com. And from there, you can find all of our social media handles, Patreon, and email. And send us email. I love mail, especially if you have a question, concern, critique, or compliment. And then don't forget to titty slam that subscribe button if you've appreciated this episode or any of the other episodes, if you're just digging it. That's it for today, guys. Take care, stay safe, stay hydrated. Until next crime.